Is your name written in the book of life? Have you been born again? Now that's the question. In order to go to heaven, it's not according to how good you are, not according to how bad you are. It has nothing to do with what kind of good works that you may or may not have done. How many times you went to church of any kind has nothing to do with that. Salvation is the free gift of God. We sang the last song, page number 19, in the hymn book. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away your sins. It paid for your sins. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot get there because you do certain things. Salvation is a gift from God that you receive and that you accept because God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and suffered in your place. And He paid for every sin that you ever have committed or that you ever will commit. And you are to believe that, the gospel, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and raised from the dead. And if you believe that, then you trust Him, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and what He did for you on the cross, and He will give you the gift of eternal life. It is free to you. It's not free to God. It's not free to Jesus Christ. He paid the price, but it's free to you. It's free to us, you see. And thank God it's free because we have nothing to offer God. We have nothing that we can give God that would recommend us to God. What have I got that I can give God and say, God, I've done this, and so that I should be allowed to come into heaven? I have nothing. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark chapter number 8. Not a thing. Not a thing. I have nothing that I can offer to God. Salvation is being born again. I'm sorry, but a lot of folks, it has to do with faith in the heart, believing something, believing on a person, Jesus Christ. A lot of people, they say a little prayer and they don't believe anything. And I'm sorry about that. I mean, it's probably us preachers and Christians' fault because they say a little prayer or something and they don't believe anything and they grow up and they're not saved. They have no desire for the things of God. I'm sorry for people who have lost their passion, who have lost their desire for the things of God. They have lost their joy. God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, Psalm 51. Don't lose your joy. Don't ever get used to being saved. Don't ever let it get old to you. You see, people do that. They lose their joy. Where did it go? What happened to it? Well, they lost it. We quoted this morning, Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. He will restore to you that. He can restore. That's sermon number one. Chapter number 7 in the book of Acts here is a long chapter, 60 verses. I don't have time to go over every verse of it. But last week, just to back up just a little bit, we talked about how that the church at Jerusalem had chosen 7 men. 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And these men were to be servants of the church at Jerusalem there. They were chosen to be servants so that the apostles would not have to spend all their time waiting on tables and taking care of the widows of the church. One of those men was Stephen. Chapter 6 and verse number 3 of what we had last week says this. The apostles chose them, told the church, they said, look ye out from among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What business is that? The business of waiting on tables and helping the widows in the church there. There must have been a lot of them. A lot of widows, a lot of poor folks. And these men, 7 men, even though the word deacon is not used there, they became servants of the church and they became the first deacons. And we looked over there in 1 Timothy at the qualifications for deacons that is given to us in the Bible. And so this man Stephen was one of those men. He sounds to me like a Bible scholar. He knows the Bible. This man Stephen that we're going to talk about today, he only had the Old Testament. That's all he had. He did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd, Corinthians. He didn't have any of those. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. He didn't have that. He didn't even have the qualifications for deacons. This is what they gave, what they used, what they had. So Stephen sounds like a Bible scholar to me. He knows the Bible, and he began to preach. He began to preach shortly after they chose him. The religious leaders heard him, and they did not like what he said. They did not like what he said. Look in your Bibles, Acts chapter number 7 and verse number, no, chapter 6 and verse number 9. It says, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." He began to preach, and so they dispute what he says. "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." They couldn't stand up to his preaching. "Then they suborned men, which said," in other words, they bribed men, "we have heard him speak blasphemous things against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council." And so they heard him. They didn't like what he said. And so they bring him before the religious leaders and the religious council. These religious leaders, they're not saved people. They're from the synagogue. They have in this town, the city of Jerusalem, they have a synagogue. That's where the unsaved Jews go. But they have a church there, people who have been saved, who believe, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so these people that are unsaved, they come and they take Stephen. They don't like what he said. Stephen is given a chance to speak. If you'll look in verse number 15. Verse number 15 of Acts chapter number 6. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been a face of an angel." So they take Stephen, they set him down before them. They don't like what he's been preaching. He's been preaching about Jesus Christ. He's been preaching about the resurrection. He's been preaching about salvation. They don't like that. And so they set him there. They have the power of life and death over him. And Stephen is given an opportunity to speak. He is going to present his case. And in chapter number 7, I haven't prayed yet. Let me pray. Father, we come to thy throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless your people today, God. God, help them and touch their hearts. Help me to preach. Help me, God, to speak the truth. Every word truth and nothing but the truth. Help somebody to be saved here. If somebody needs to be saved, God. And God, open our hearts and open our eyes. Give us understanding of your holy words. And thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stephen is given an opportunity to preach, to speak. Chapter 7, verse number 1 and 2. Stephen is now going to give a 60-verse sermon. 60 verses he preaches. And what he does, he gives a history, a whole history, I guess you might say a condensed history of the nation of Israel. That's what he does. Look in chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. I'm just going to point out a few verses. If you don't know the Bible, you could read Paul's sermon. You could read Stephen's sermon. You can get a shortened history of the nation of Israel. That's what the Bible's about. The Bible is a history book. It's a history book. The whole Old Testament is the history of the nation of Israel. And if you didn't have that, as I told you Wednesday night, man, there'd be a lot of things you wouldn't know. There'd be a lot of things you wouldn't know about creation, about salvation, about prophecy, about a lot of things if you did not have the Old Testament. Chapter 7 and verse number 1, Stephen begins to preach. He's preaching to a bunch of religious leaders. They know the Old Testament. They know something about the Old Testament. "Then said the high priest," talking to Stephen, "are these things so?" And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan." So he starts off with with the man Abraham. And I just have time to give you a few things here. Going down to verse number 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Joseph is one of the Old Testament men. He came after Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes there. He was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and he's a major character in the Old Testament. So he talks about Joseph there. And then let me go on here. Go down to verse number 20. Verse number 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. So he talks about Moses. Going down to verse number 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. We're familiar with that. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Going down to verse number 36. And he brought them out. After that, he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Talking about Moses there leading them across the Red Sea. And going down to verse number 47 now. Verse number 47. He talks about Solomon here. Solomon, the son of David. But Solomon built him a house. That would be Solomon's temple. That's part of his sermon there. Stephen, he's giving them a history of the nation of Israel. Let's read on down, beginning in verse number 51. Here's how Stephen ends up his sermon. Verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That's what we want to talk about today is resisting the Holy Ghost. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. I've got myself a note there that says, man, this kind of preaching can get you killed. And verse number 54 says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man, that'd be Jesus, standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And he became Paul later on. In verse number 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That is, he died. He fell asleep. Whenever someone dies, their body sleeps in the grave, awaiting the resurrection. That is Stephen's dying prayer. Verse number 54 says this. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Man, whenever someone is cut to the heart, that means they are convicted. Stephen's preaching convicted them, and it reveals truth to them. It reveals truth to people, and they were convicted. Stephen saw heaven opened up there. And then in those last verses there, they stoned Stephen and Stephen's dying prayer. If you don't know this, they rejected the preaching of Stephen. And this is the Jews' final rejection of their Messiah. This is where God hides his face from them. And God hides his face from the nation of Israel for 2,000 years. If you ever wonder, listen carefully, if you ever wonder why the Jews went through the Holocaust and there were 6 million Jews in Hitler's death camps that died, then that's the reason right there, because they rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. I told the folks in Sunday school this morning, I probably have to repeat myself, but don't ever ask God to leave you alone. Don't ever say to God, God, I don't need you. God, just leave me alone. Just let me go my own way because I've got things I want to do. Don't ever say that to God, because if God turns his face from you, If God turns his face away from you, then you can destroy your life. You can destroy your life. Verse number 51 in the text here. Stephen told these people, these Jews, they are religious people. They believe in God, but they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. They reject what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. They don't want that. They do not want him as their Savior. They are self-righteous. They think that they are good enough. They think, man, we've got the law. We've got the prophets. We've got the service of God. We've got the covenants. We've got all of that. God has given all of that, and God has been with us. God led his people across the Red Sea. God did all of these things, and they think, we don't need this man. This man here is not the Messiah. They reject him, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and their Jewish Messiah. And Stephen says, as a result of that, he says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You always resist the Holy Ghost. That is a common thing. He said, as your fathers did, so do ye. You're doing just like your fathers have done. They rejected the Holy Ghost, you see. Who is the Holy Ghost? Some of these new Bibles, I might say, I think probably all of the new Bibles except the real Bible, which is this one right here, the King James Bible. All the rest of them take out the word Holy Ghost and they put something else in there. The Holy Ghost is God himself. Is God himself. He is the Spirit of God that God has sent to indwell in us. All the new Bibles take it out. He is the third person of the Trinity. God reveals himself to us as three distinct persons. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Ghost right there. Jesus said this in John chapter 4 and verse 24. He says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And it goes on to say in verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So God is a spirit, but God has a body. You know who his body is? His body is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's body. God has a soul. His soul is God the Father. And he has a spirit. God made you like he made himself, a Trinity. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says there, he says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Does that make you feel good? You're made out of dirt. You're made out of dust. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is right inside of your body. God breathed into that man the breath of life. He wasn't alive until God breathed his life. That's why evolution is not true. Evolution is a lie because life only comes from life. Life comes from God. Without God, there is no life. Life cannot come from dead matter. You can't pile up a pile of dirt in a corner somewhere and leave it for a million years and life will eventually come out of that. It ain't going to happen. I guarantee if it won't come out in 100 years or 1,000 years, it ain't going to come out in a million years. There is no life apart from God. John chapter 1 and verse number 4, in him was life, in Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, life comes from God. That's who the Holy Ghost is. He is God. He is the Spirit of God. God created us in his own image. The Holy Ghost is that Spirit of God that dwells permanently at salvation in every person who accepts him as their Savior. It is very clear right here that you can resist the Holy Ghost. God does not force people to do things. He doesn't force us to do things. Let me give you an illustration. You should have seen Jeff the other day. Jeff came out to help me catch a calf. I've got a few calves, and I've got a few cows. When one of my cows has a calf, they're born out in the pasture. I don't watch them, and I don't go help them. They don't need my help most of the time. Well, I had a calf about Friday, and a calf, when I say I had a calf, I mean my cow had a calf. I didn't have it. Whenever a cow has a calf, I'm a farmer, folks. I don't know any better. Whenever a cow has a calf, in about 20 minutes, 15 minutes, that calf is up and he's running around. He's running around. You'd be surprised. In 30 minutes, they can run. And in an hour, you can hardly catch them. So the longer that calf stays out in the pasture, the harder it is for me to catch them, because I have to catch them and put them in a pen, because later on I need to brand them. And if I leave them out there, man, I'll never catch them. I tried several times to go catch the calf, but every time I drive up to him, well, he'd see me, he'd jump up and he runs off and I can't catch him. So I had Jeff come out there. And I told Jeff, if that calf gets up and starts running now, we're just going to have to chase him down. So sure enough, we drove out in the field to the calf, and he was laying there asleep, but he heard us coming. He woke up and he took off running. And so so we started chasing him, and we started going around in a circle. And I put the calf on Jeff's side. He's over here. He's in the seat over here. And we're in this old pickup that I used to drive around in the pasture, and we're driving in a circle trying to get close to that calf, you know. And we got up close to him. He didn't know what's going. The poor calf, he doesn't know anything. He never seen a pickup. Poor kid, he's scared to death, you know. And Jeff, we got up close to him, and Jeff opens the door. And we got up close to him, and he dives out of the pickup. Dives out of the pickup and landed on that calf. And both of them went down. Both of them went down, and that calf is all over him, you know. And he's hanging on, man. He's hanging on to that calf. And I stopped, and I ran over as fast as I could and got the rope and threw it on the calf, and we had him done, you see. Well, here's the thing. Jeff tackled that calf, and he got him down. My point is this. The Holy Ghost is not going to tackle you. He's not going to tackle you. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you do anything. If you're not saved, God's not going to force you to get anything. You hear the gospel. You hear that Christ died for you on the cross, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. If you hear that and you think, Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for me and shed His blood, I want that, then you're a candidate for getting saved. You're a candidate for getting saved, you see. He's not going to make you. He's not going to knock you in the head. There may be things happen. There may be things happen. But people can resist the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He's not going to force you to do anything, but He will gently prick your conscience. He will gently prick your conscience and remind you, you need to do this and you need to do that. He will gently prick your conscience and He will say, that's true. That's what you need. You need that. You need Jesus. You need that Savior. There's only one Savior. There's not 10. There's not 15. Religion is not the way. It's all in a man, a person who died and suffered and bore your sins in His own body on the tree. It's all in Him. Has nothing to do with somebody's foolish religion. This church or no other church can save anybody. Salvation is not a process that you work into it. No, man. I'll tell you what, one day I was sitting there in my house, and a man came and told me about Jesus, and I said yes. And I was saved. I was born again. It's just like that. You don't work into it in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. You don't gradually work into it. No. No, man, it's called regeneration, where God Almighty regenerates you. He gives you life on the inside. If you don't have that life on the inside, you're dead. I'm sorry. You're dead in trespasses and sins. That's what it is. It's life. Living life alive unto God. He said this to those people. that rejected Jesus Christ, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. There's three things here. Let me find my place here. There are three ways that they resisted the Holy Ghost. Three ways that these people resist the Holy Ghost. It is a common thing today, daily, for people to resist the Holy Ghost. Christians and all, resist the Holy Ghost. Three ways they resisted the Holy Ghost. Number one, they resisted the preaching of the prophets. They resisted the preaching of the prophets. Number two, they rejected the Savior. And number three, they returned back to the world. Oh, what a sad thing for Christians to lose their joy. And they go back to the world, just like the Jews did. They said, we want to go back to Egypt. Don't turn around. Don't go back. God don't want you to go backwards. I'm getting ahead of myself. Number one, they resisted the preaching of the prophets. You see, the prophets brought the word of God to them. But they said, we don't like what you're saying. We don't want to hear what you got to say. We're going to do what we want to do. A lot of scriptures we could turn to, but let me just give you one or two here without turning to it. They rejected his words. Jeremiah was one of the Old Testament prophets, and in chapter number 38, Jeremiah preached, and they did not like what he had to say, and they put him in a dungeon. They dropped him down in a long hole, and there was no water. It was mire, and he sunk down in the mire. And if it were not for some guy, I believe his name was Ebed-Melech, then Jeremiah would have died there. And they came and had to get him. And they put an old rope made out of, it's called old cast clouts. It's an old thing made out of old sheets. And they dropped it down and pulled him out. But they didn't like it, Jeremiah, what Jeremiah preached. And they said, we don't like what you say. They said this. They said, come on, preach to us smooth things. Make us feel good. We don't like what you're saying. You see, is that not what is happening today in our land? Don't preach anything negative to us. We want to hear positive things only. Don't you dare mention sin. Don't you mention that. We don't want to hear it. Brother, that's in the Bible. We got to preach the whole Bible. Amen. We can't leave a bunch of stuff out. Amen. They rejected. That's not the right word. They resisted the preaching. Another place, Jeremiah chapter number, I believe 36. God told Jeremiah some things, and I believe it was a man by the name of Baruch wrote it down, and that's what you call scriptures, where God speaks through a man and it's written down. That's what you call scriptures. He wrote it down. They took it to the king, and the king read it. I believe the king's name at the time was Jehoiakim. And he said, man, I sure don't like that, because it was against them. See, it was against them. Man, a lot of times the scripture may rub us the wrong way. You know how to get over that, don't you? Just turn around. You know, like if you rub a cat the wrong way, the cat will just turn around and it'll be smooth then. Amen. Y'all get that? Turn around. Turn around and it'll be a lot better. Amen. Jehoiakim the king, he didn't like that. You know what he did? Read this sometime. Jeremiah chapter number 36. He took that scroll that the words of God were written on. He took it over by the fireplace, and he took some kind of a knife, a pen knife, and he cut it up in little slivers and he threw it in the fireplace. He cut the whole thing up. He didn't like what it said. You know what God did? He called Jeremiah and he said, write it down again. You write it down again. People try to get rid of the Bible, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let people flush it down the commode. They can burn it. They can do anything. They ain't going to get rid of it. It ain't going anywhere. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. They don't like it. He said, you resist the Holy Ghost, How did they resist the Holy Ghost? They resisted the preaching. The prophets brought the Word of God. And they said, we don't like that. We don't like that. There's a lot of that. We could go on. Brother, let me tell you something. I got to show you this. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 24. Here we go. This is the United States of America. Proverbs chapter 1, and let's see here. Verse number 23. Let's read verse number 23. We'll read a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 1, just think right here. This is true. What I'm going to read you right here. This is true. From the White House to the schoolhouse and many times to the church house. It ain't going to be so here. He says in verse number 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. See here? Look, folks. God has given us a Bible. It is the words of God. God has made known to us the words of God. Amen. Verse number 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Verse number 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. That's the Bible. All my counsel. He set it aside, said, we don't believe it. Christians set this book aside all week. They don't read it. The Supreme Court has set this book aside. They don't think it's important. You see, judges in our land, they set it aside. No, it's not what the Bible says. They think it's foolish. That right there, that's the United States of America. And it will bring judgment if some of it's already here upon our land. Verse number 25, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. See, anything that's negative, nobody wants to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Verse number 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. That's God speaking. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. And he goes on there, see. What I'm saying is this. Stephen said to these religious people, they're religious people. Religious. They know the Old Testament, but they reject the Savior that God sent. He said, you resist the Holy Ghost. Number two, how did they resist the Holy Ghost? They resisted the preaching. Number two, they rejected the Savior. Jesus Christ came and they said this, we will not have this man to reign over us. They will not have this man to reign over us. They said when Jesus Christ is about to be crucified, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. I don't find anything wrong with him, but they went and crucified him anyway. Pilate said, I wash my hands of the whole business here. I'm going to try to wash the blood off my hands, but he couldn't do it. You know what the people out there, the religious leaders, man, let me tell you something, they ought not to have said this. They ought not to have said this. It says there in Matthew 27, verse number 25, here's what they said. They said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And so the blood of Jesus Christ has been upon the Jewish nation for 2,000 years. He came to the Jews first, and they rejected him. Don't reject him. I know you don't. They rejected him. The Savior. There's a lot of other things that we could say. Let's move on to the third. I'm going to say this one sentence before I leave there. They rejected the Savior. They did to Jesus Christ what they would not do to the worst criminal in their land. You know who the worst criminal in their land was? A man by the name of Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer, a robber, and a thief. And they let him go. They said, no. Crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas. Brother, now that right there, that's when a nation is in trouble. That's when a nation is in trouble. When that which is bad, it becomes good. And that which is good becomes bad to the people. A lot of that stuff going on in our country. Would you ever think in your wildest dreams, folks, that there would be a homosexual running for president of the United States? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. My wife showed me a statement, I guess you'd call it a statement. When that which is unthinkable becomes tolerable, then it becomes acceptable, and then it is celebrated. That happens over a period of time. Over a period of time. When nobody speaks up and says, that's wrong, shouldn't do that. Preachers don't say anything. They rejected the Savior, and number three, they returned back to the world. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. Here's Paul, and he's about to die. And he's alone in Rome. He lost his head. He was beheaded. You can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's all alone there. And he said this about a man. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Christians, they turn around and they go back into the world. They love the world. Stop it. The Bible says, don't love the world. This world is against God. It's against the Bible. It's against Jesus Christ. They resisted the Holy Ghost and they went back into the world. Look, I believe it's verse number 39. Look in your Bibles there to verse number 39 of chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse number 39, it says this, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts they turned back again into Egypt. Y'all know what Egypt is a picture of. Tell me. Egypt is a picture of what? The world. It's a picture of the world going back into the world, into slavery. Into slavery. They said, we want to go back over there. Man, life was so much easier. We didn't have to read the Bible over there. We didn't have to listen to some preacher get up and preach to us. We didn't have to do any of that stuff. We just go back over there and Pharaoh take care of us. Of course, they're slaves. They said, we want to go back over there. You see, they returned to the world. Notice the Bible says over there in verse number 39, in their hearts they turned back. See, a lot of folks, their body's still in church, but their heart's already gone somewhere else. Their hearts, it's already gone somewhere else. Sorry about that. Man, the Bible says about my heart. I hate to even tell you what the Bible says about my heart. Man, the Bible says about me, my heart, it says it's desperately wicked, and who can know it? That's me, and that's you. Amen. That's our heart. There's sin in our flesh. That's why you come to church. That's why you come to church, so we can get all that stuff preached out of us, see? In their hearts were already there. They love the world. They love Hollywood. They love the movies. They sit around on Saturday night watching R-rated movies. Then they all come in on Sunday morning. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in singing at Calvary. They're not interested in that. Why? Because their heart is somewhere else. Amen. Amen. That's right. They would rather drive a new car than support a missionary. Oh, man. They would rather drive a new car than support a missionary that is preaching the gospel on a foreign field. If everything else is fixed, then they might help God out a little bit. I'm about finished here. Aren't y'all glad? When we're coming to church on Sunday morning, whenever we come to town, we pass by this house or two. And I notice out there, man, everything is manicured. Not a blade of grass out of out of place. All the fences are all painted, you know. Three or four new cars sitting around, you know. Driveway, you know, garages and everything like that. Everything is fixed up just right. Sunday morning, of course, they're not going to church. I noticed that they even have a four-wheeler. You know what a four-wheeler is, so that they don't have to walk to the barn. They don't have to walk to the barn. They can jump on the four-wheeler and ride out there. But they never go to church. Their barn is like 300 feet. I know because that's how far my barn is from my house. You know how far that is? That's 100 steps. 100 steps. They jump on the four-wheeler so they don't have to walk 100 steps and walk out there. Nothing wrong with having a bunch of stuff. I got a bunch of stuff. But brother, there's a lot wrong with it for a Christian who doesn't put God first. There's a lot wrong with that. The Bible says, I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 5 or verse or chapter 3, he said, they care nothing for the work of God. They care nothing for the work of God. They put themselves first in every point, you see. Let me tell you something, folks. I wouldn't give a plug nickel for that kind of Christianity. Not a plug nickel. Y'all know what a plug nickel is, don't you? Plug nickel? You know what a plug nickel is? Well, it's a little piece of metal. I don't have any nickels. I don't have any, but it looks like a nickel, but it's not real. It's not even worth 5 cents. Y'all know when you take one of these electrical boxes, it has little holes in it, and it has a plug covering up the hole. You push that plug out, and it's about the size of a nickel. That's a plug nickel. Amen. Y'all learned something this morning. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for the kind of Christianity. Look, folks, Christianity, man, it has to do with the heart. I hate this old dry kind of Christianity. The preachers who never shed a tear. Well, you don't have to cry while you're preaching, but you ought to at least shed some tears when you're praying. You see, I don't like that kind of Christianity. I don't like that. The old dry stuff, you know, dry as dust, and people lost their passion. They don't have any passion for God. They don't have any zeal for God. If you can serve God like that, well, go ahead. I can't hardly do it. I just can't hardly do it, see. It's a religion of the heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart and just trust Him, and that's salvation. That's salvation. Forget about your church. Forget about getting baptized. Forget about the sacraments. Forget about all that stuff. It's in a person, Jesus Christ. It's in Him. And you trust Him as your Savior, and He will give you eternal life. It's the free gift. Jesus Christ on the cross died alone for us because nobody else could do it. Nobody else could do it. Jesus died alone. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. They resisted the Holy Ghost. They resisted the preaching. They rejected the Savior, and they returned back into the world. Don't go back into the world. Don't go back into the world. Don't go back into slavery. Don't do that. Let's bow our heads, please.